All of them are in 1 John. The first verse is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. And the next verse is verse 14, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And then 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. We have been called of God to be overcomers in this world. Amen. To be overcomers. To be an overcomer infers that we are prevailing in a battle. We are winning the victory in a struggle. Amen. We are not falling prey to the attacks of the enemy, but instead we are prevailing over the enemy. And I know that we can't do that in our own strength, but we can overcome in these days and live a life of an overcomer. If we could not, then we would not have been commanded all these many times in other places in the scripture to be an overcomer. Amen. Now, when you come to the Lord, when you become a Christian, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Really, the word there means creation. You're a new creation. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's the transforming work that takes place in the life of a believer. Really, the work of Christ brings about change. If you don't want to change, then you're not going to want to get saved. If you don't want to change, one of the reasons why that we come to the Lord is because we get weary with our sin. We get burdened down with our sin. And we want to change. We want things to be different. We don't want to be under that old taskmaster anymore. We want to be an overcomer and to come out of that. But if you want to be changed, then you have to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to do his creative work in you, his creation work in you, and change you and make you into what he can make you become. The work of Christ brings about change. I think sometimes too many have the idea, if you just add a little religion to your life would be better. I heard a politician in an interview not too awful long ago say, I think we need more religion in America. Now, I can't judge everything that he meant by that, but I'm not so sure that we just needed a little more religion in America. We don't need just a little, live our own life as we have been living it and add a little religion to it. That's not what is necessary. It's necessary that we have the creating work of the Holy Spirit in our life that transforms us and changes us, and we become this new creation in Christ, to where that the old is gone. The old, we don't add to the old. We don't add just a little religion to the old. We become completely new in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we are changed because we have this encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. So if you just add a little religion to your life, then really what you're going to have is an unholy mixture. You're going to have who you are, in your sins and in your old lifestyle and all the pattern of sin that's in your life, and you just add a little religion to that. That is not the plan of God. It's not the plan of God that we have just this unholy mixture. It says in the book of Leviticus that we're not to mix the holy with the profane. You see that sometimes in some of these sports figures, like a football player who runs out onto the field and runs down to the goal line and kneels and prays before the game starts, and then through the entire game, he is profane and vile in his language. But he prayed. He prayed before the game started. And when he makes a touchdown, then he points toward heaven. God, help me do that. God, help me to make that touchdown. It's a mixture of the unholy and the holy. It's the mixture of the profane and the holy. Amen. I didn't lose you with that football illustration, did I? Hopefully not. Amen. Amen. I hope I didn't. We need to understand that to be an overcomer, the old life has to be gone. That we are new in Jesus Christ. We are changed. Our life is new. Our loves are new. Our lifestyle is new. All our priorities are new. That's what it means to be an overcomer. And that's what Jesus has called us to be. But we do live in the world. And even though you become a Christian and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, you still live in this world. You're still a resident of this world. And this world is constantly putting pressure on. We live under the pressure of this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't cave in to the pressures of this world. If you're to be an overcomer, then you will not live like the world. You won't cave in to the philosophies and the ways and the practices and the lifestyles of this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's the work of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Spirit of God in your life. When you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you become an overcomer. Amen. So just because you become a Christian, it doesn't mean you're not going to have pressures on you, or that there isn't going to be this effort of the world to cause you to cave in. No, we're going to live for that for the rest of our life. Amen. Till you take your last breath in this world, you're going to live with the pressures of this world, because we live in a world that's completely opposite of the ways of our heavenly citizenship. Amen. We're citizens of another world. We're just strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're just passing through this world. If you're an overcomer, then you face the challenge of the pressures of the world by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. And not only do you face those challenges, but right, even in that hostile environment like we're living in right now, in our world right now, we're still called of God to grow and to mature and to develop. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The word perfect there doesn't mean without flaw. The word perfect there means to be fully grown, fully developed, or to mature. Amen. So this is what we're called to do as an overcomer. That even though the world all around us wants us to cave in to their ways and their philosophy, we still are able, by the power of the Spirit of God, to grow and to develop and to be perfected, to mature in the things of God, and to become, until it says, until we come unto the fullness and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our model. Jesus is our model. He's our standard that we want to reach that level. And so we are to be in this present world, always growing and developing, maturing in the things of the Lord, until we come into the knowledge, the fullness, and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our role model, isn't he? Amen. Amen. He's the standard that we're always reaching for, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're still in the world, and we're going to be in the world until we take our last breath in this world. But all the time while we're in this world, we are every day, we're making decisions. We're doing things that will affect our life and certainly our spiritual life and our walk with the Lord. Every day we are making decisions, aren't we? The Bible says we're not to love the world, neither the things, any of the things of this world. So to be an overcomer means you detach from your affection for the things of this world. You're not controlled by your affection and your desires for the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in this world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They can't coexist. You can't grow and develop and mature in the things of the Lord. If your heart is after the world, if your heart is pursuing after the things of the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And all the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Now, doctrinally, we call this process that we're going through throughout our Christian experience the work of sanctification in our life. Because on the outward, we have this outward influence of the world we live in constantly pressuring us. But because we're in Jesus Christ, because we are filled with the Spirit, then we are being sanctified. We are growing and developing. This work of sanctification is the process that God uses to set us apart from the world. To set us apart from the world for his holy purpose. Amen. Just like those vessels in the tabernacle were to be sanctified, anointed, sanctified, set apart for only use in temple worship. And when they were desecrated by those that would steal them away or do with them something that should not be done, great judgment would fall upon those who would desecrate those things that were set aside for holy purposes. And you, as a born-again Christian, you have been set aside from this world to not be like the world or to love the world or any of the things of this world, but you have been set apart from this world, sanctified. And that's this process that's going on. I know there's debate about whether or not it's a definite work or a second definite work, or is it this continuing work of sanctification, which I happen to believe it's both. I believe that there's a work of sanctification that is initiated by the Spirit of God in our life, and then it just keeps going on. We are sanctified daily. We are constantly, as Paul said, dying out every day to the things of the world and being sanctified and set apart unto God for his calling and for his purpose. Amen. There's three battlefronts that scripture describes for us. First of all, it's the flesh. Number one, it's the flesh, which is the inner inclination we have towards sin, the fleshly inclination that we have. While you're in the flesh, you will struggle with this inner inclination towards sin. The second battlefront is the devil himself. That we have an adversary, the devil, who is going about seeking who he may be able to devour. And he's working against you. You have a real enemy, a real adversary, and he wants you to cave in, and he's constantly going to be throwing things in your pathway. So you have your own flesh, and you have the devil, and you have the world, which is the evil system in our world. It's under the control of Satan and wickedness, and it's a system that tries to cause you to believe the lie, believe in lies, and to be deceived and to be enticed into sin. So you're dealing with the flesh and the devil and the world constantly bombarding us, wanting us to cave in. But we can be made overcomers. Amen. We do not have to cave in to the ways of this world. Amen. Praise God. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We live in such an age of deception, such a time of deception right now, folks. And the only way that you can face the deception of this hour is to be a lover of the truth, to just know the truth and allow the Word of God to be a part of your heart and your life and your mind, and to be sanctified by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, so that you can face all of these challenging things coming against us. Amen. The devil, the world, the flesh, constantly bombarding us, but we can be overcomers. Let me just give you a couple of suggestions on how to be an overcomer. Number one, put everything to the test. Put everything to the test. Don't just assume that everything is going to be okay. Don't just assume that everything that's coming at you, it'll be okay. Put it all to the test. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It doesn't say all evil. It says even the appearance of evil. That means with everything that you listen to and everything that you watch and everything that you read, with every teacher or preacher that you listen to, that you are constantly putting everything to the test, and it's measured by the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm not saying that all the radio and TV preachers are messed up or not good, but put them all to the test of the word of God. Test them and make sure that they're not off doctrinally. Put them to the test to make sure that they are not going to lead you astray, and all the things that are constantly coming at us. Amen. Put it to the test. Is it true? Is it in line with the scripture? Is it going to be just going to provide just pleasure for a season? Does it please God? Does it glorify God when I involve in this activity or do these things? Put it to the test. Amen. Praise God. Another suggestion in overcoming, and that is, don't be caught off guard by rejection and persecution. Just understand that if you're a believer, that you are living in a completely different world. Remember, we live in a culture in America, in our world, that's pretty much anti-God and anti-Christ. But we're citizens of another world, and this world is not going to understand why you live the way you live. They're not going to understand your convictions. The world is not going to understand or accept biblical principles or biblical standards. They're not going to believe it or accept it until they're not even going to be able to understand it. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're not going to be able to comprehend it. So don't be caught off guard when you find yourself being rejected, young people especially. It's kind of tough when you find yourself being rejected by some around you in the world. It's not a pleasant thing when you go through that, but just understand that it's a part of your maturing and your growing and you're developing an overcoming life. Yes, you're going to face some opposition. You're going to face some rejection. You're going to face some persecution sometimes for what you believe. Amen. Amen. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. But we're made overcomers. Amen. We are made overcomers. Amen. Right in the midst of this wicked, ungodly world, you can be an overcomer. So put everything to the test, and don't be surprised or caught off guard by rejection or persecutions of the world. Just understand it's a part of it. It's a part of the process of overcoming the world. And then another thing is, another suggestion for you is, instead of being influenced, be an influencer. Amen. Be a change agent. Amen. Rather than allow all these things in the world to cause you to move and to change your commitments, your convictions. And it's important to be a person of conviction. Amen. Amen. Sister Deborah Hale was talking to me sometime recently about, I don't remember all the discussion, but she later came to me and said, came to Marsha and I and said, I don't want you to misunderstand about what we believe about drinking. We don't believe in it. And she said that her husband, Connie, that he won't even drink ginger ale because it has the word ale on it. I appreciate folks that have convictions. I really do. I'm not preaching against ginger ale. But I do appreciate folks that have convictions and you stand for what you stand for, and it's something that is important to you, and it's come by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. And convictions can make a difference in your life and can cause you to be an overcomer. Amen. Amen. You need convictions in this dark world right now that wants to change everything about what we believe and what the Bible says and redefine it. And we need to have good, godly, biblical convictions. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So be an influencer. Instead of just being influenced by the things around you, be a thermometer that reflects, a thermometer reflects the environment. A thermostat sets the environment. So be the thermostat and not the thermometer. Amen. Be the thermostat. Set the environment. Amen. Be a person of conviction and character, and you can overcome in this dark world. Amen. Philippians 2 and 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst, right in the middle of it, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Amen. That's what we're called to be. Amen. In the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, let's be a people of God with conviction who are overcomers. Amen. Hallelujah. Overcomers. One more suggestion for you tonight to be an overcomer, and that is stay focused on the eternal. Stay focused on the eternal. If you're not careful, you'll look around at all everything that's going on around you, and you can just get temporally focused. Focused on right now, focused on the things around you. Don't allow yourself to be focused on the temporal, but instead focus on the eternal. Amen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that are seen, rather, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. So keep your eyes on the Lord. Have an eternal focus. Amen. And don't allow yourself to be drugged down to the thinking and the philosophies and the ways of this world. Let me tell you, it's coming at us from every direction. I'm telling you, it is everywhere, everywhere. Amen. As a matter of fact, everywhere there's a screen, there's the potential for a bombardment against your spiritual growth, against your overcoming life. Amen. So put everything that comes through a screen and be on guard. Amen. The enemy is looking for every possible avenue, every possible way that he can get into your mind, to your heart, to affect your thinking and to change your philosophy and to cause you to become a person that loses their commitment to God. Amen. We are called to be overcomers in this world. And I just encourage you tonight to make that kind of a commitment to the Lord. Lord, make me an overcomer. You've challenged us through the word of the Lord to be overcomers in these last days. And even though others will just cave in to the thinking and the ways of the world, you don't have to. Amen. You don't have to. You don't have to listen to the ways of the world. You don't have to take it all in. You can walk in purity and in holiness before the Lord and walk a sanctified life and just grow and mature in the things of the Lord right in the middle of all the mess around us. It's possible. Amen. It is possible to live above the world. And we need to keep in mind that even the world, even though the world has such a powerful impact upon us, and there's this powerful force that wants to push us into its mold, remember this: the world is passing away. This old world is passing away. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. All this stuff that people think are so important, it's all going to pass away. Amen. People are building their lives on possessions and on money and investments and bank accounts and all these the things that the world has to offer. But the reality is it's all going to burn up. It's all temporary and all the things. And even the philosophies of this world. The world is passing away. This worldly system is going to pass away. But the person that does the will of God, he's going to abide forever. Amen. Praise God. He can make you an overcomer. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you are reminding us, Lord, that we can live a life above the thinking and the ways and the philosophies of this world. Help us, Lord, to not allow the world to pressure us. But Lord, instead, that we would live a life, Lord, honoring you and serving you and living by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in a time, Lord, of so much evil and wickedness around us, Lord, we can still live and shine as lights in this dark and perverse world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We're going to pray tonight. Amen. And some of you, I know that.